Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing today?
Wonderful.
I feel like somebody's standing behind me with that there. Oh, God is good. God is good. I want to talk to you this morning about baptism. And, you know, we started with baptism and seemed fitting to move into that subject this morning. And I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Matthew chapter 3 this morning. Matthew chapter 3. And I'll be reading beginning there in verse number 13. Matthew chapter 3 beginning in verse 13. If you will, please stand with me in honor of God's word. Matthew 3, beginning in verse number 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Father, we thank you so much for grace and for mercy. Lord, we thank you for the faith that you instill within us and that you strengthen every day in our life. Father, you are with us. You have never left us. We always can turn to you and find hope and security and truth and guidance. And Father, I pray today that we, your people, honor you as you have honored us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Baptism. We have a wonderful picture of baptism that has taken place between John and Jesus. And so we should, just in that picture alone, understand that baptism is something important to us as believers in Christ. Baptism is something that God has called us to walk in. The same path that he walked, he has called us to take. Follow me. If you're my disciples, then follow me. And do as I teach you. And he would later tell the apostles and the disciples to go into all the world and teach them and baptize them. And so we ought to understand that baptism is a fundamental pathway for Christians to walk. It's just part of what we should do in life to honor God. Jesus being the example, he comes to John. Now let me, John had a wonderful word for people back then. Repent! How many of us need that just to be resounding through our nation and through the world today? Repent! Repent. Well, I mean, just that word alone is not needed. We need to know why. And it's because of the love of Jesus Christ and that we can have forgiveness of sins through repentance and that we can find life in Christ and that we can be sealed for the day of redemption by having the Holy Spirit come into us and sealing us for that day, that we can know the full body of the Godhead. That is Jesus the Father, or God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit within us, teaching us and guiding us in all truth, so that we can honor him as he has honored us. John was preaching, repent. He said it like this, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if you look in the first chapter of John, he's telling them, there's one who's among you that you don't even know. whose sandals I'm not even fit to tie. And Jesus shows up and he said, look, behold, the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. That's the greatest sermon that was ever preached, in my opinion. And the second one followed, was a follow-up with Peter when he was preaching in Acts chapter 2. We have to know Jesus Christ to be saved. We have to know Jesus Christ to understand that repentance is needed. We have to understand all that God teaches us about ourselves and about Himself and our relationship one with the other, us and God and us with each other, for that matter. John understood his place when Jesus showed up. He said, wait a minute. I should be baptized by you, and yet you're coming to me. And Jesus said, permit it to be so to fulfill all righteousness. Now, there is so much there that we can't even really begin to unpack everything that's involved. But if Jesus, who is without sin, says to John, permit it to be so to fulfill all righteousness, there is still something all of us need to understand about baptism. Not just that God wants us to be baptized. It's not required that we be baptized to be saved, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which saves us, is a walk of obedience to the water, proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, proclaiming Jesus Christ as a sacrifice that saves me from having to answer for my own sins. It is a walk in obedience to fulfill all righteousness before this world. I proclaim Jesus Christ. Then I ought to be able to walk without shame to the pool and be baptized. How many of you know that the thief on the cross was not baptized? So when Jesus told him, today you will be with me in paradise, was he saying something that wasn't true? Or was he somehow baptized and we don't have that recorded for us to see in Scripture before he died? I don't think so. What we need to understand is people find salvation in Christ through the repentance of sin and calling upon the name of Jesus every day at death's door. They don't even have a chance to be baptized. I used to be like most of those Southern Baptists where I grew up at. You got to be dunked. And the more of a sinner you are, the longer you are held under. Amen. Preacher, let him up. He's going to die. No, we're saving him. I come to understand, though, when we ask ourselves questions about what Scripture teaches us, we understand God says we are saved through grace, through faith, that of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do you know that walking to the pool to be baptized could be considered a work if it's not done in love for Jesus Christ? You can't define works as going out there and picking up rocks and throwing them from one side of the yard to the other, or cutting the grass for somebody who can't cut, carrying the groceries for someone who can't. You can have all manner of works and still not do it in the right frame of love that is in Christ, who is in you and moving you to work. You can come to Christ and say, oh, wow, you guys got a good thing going. I want to be baptized. You can get dunked and still be a sinner when you come up. It is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that saves us and seals us for the day of redemption. But still, there is a place because it fulfills all righteousness. So when we in this world have opportunity to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, that's good. But will you call on Him as Lord and Savior? Will you say, Father, forgive me for my sins? Will you be saved through your faith? Will you walk in all righteousness without shame to the pool to be baptized? See, I'm talking to you today. When I first came here, we had some seniors in the church that had never been baptized. We didn't know. It was an amazing thing to me. A grandson got baptized, and then the granddad said, "I want to get baptized too." I'm like, "What? I never baptized. I'm like, "What?" So I come in here, and I look at every one of you here, and I've not asked each and every one of you individually, have you ever made a profession of faith? Have you ever walked in the path of all righteousness to fulfill all righteousness in your life? Have you ever been baptized? Because, see, this is what is important, to honor God in all things. And if Jesus says to the disciples to go and to teach and to baptize, we should understand it's a call for us to follow those things as well as do those things. Christ is doing it himself. If Jesus will be baptized before his ministry in this world began to fulfill all righteousness, then we, before we begin to honor God in our ministry, as a believer, as a pastor, as a Sunday school teacher, as a deacon, as anybody who is a faithful member of the body of Christ, before we begin our ministry, we should have followed the path of righteousness into baptism, declaring before the world, "I am dead with Christ, but I am risen in Christ." You see, that going into the water symbolizes our death, but us coming up symbolizes our resurrection in Christ. In fact, I have one of my study Bibles puts it like this. It says, his immersion, he's talking about Christ himself, his immersion typified his baptism in the waters of God's judgment at Calvary, and his emergence from the water foreshadowed his resurrection. The death, the burial, the resurrection. He would satisfy the demands of divine justice and provide a righteous basis by which sinners could be justified. And we need to understand that there was a lot more involved with Christ himself and in his baptism. I mean, even the high priest, before he would do the ministry of God on the Day of Atonement, would bathe himself, change his clothing, and bathe himself and change his clothing, bathe himself and change his clothes. It was a wonderful thing, a wonderful ceremony to symbolize forgiveness of sins by the sacrifice of the lamb and of the bull. But they bathed themselves before they did certain things, and they changed their clothing before they went to one place or another. And you see, when we stand up in the world and say, "I believe in Jesus," but we're not dressed fully as one who is a believer in Christ, one who is on a mission of faith for Christ, how can we succeed? We're not walking in full righteousness. How can they understand if they don't see the full righteousness in us? There's a place where it has to begin. It is in faith, but then our path in faith leads us to walk a path of righteousness that includes baptism. Baptism is something we should want in our life as believers in Christ. We should want to be baptized. We shouldn't reject people from baptism. In fact, when I was that young boy in that Southern Baptist church up in the mountains in South Carolina, you know, we were a small church, and we were holy rollers. Amen. That preacher could preach. I mean, he carried a handkerchief in his hand, because if he wasn't sweating and slinging sweat everywhere, he was spitting and wiping off his mouth. Wonderful preacher that man was. But if we aren't walking in paths of righteousness, how can we represent Christ the way God wants us to? If God calls us to him and we say, "I hear you," then hear all that he says. Don't just come halfway and say, "Oh, I'm not ready to be dunked yet." Go the full pathway and feel the wonder of His love while you walk in all righteousness with Him. Don't limit what you have in your experiences with God. Not everybody has a moment. Jesus had a moment that was divinely wonderful. John saw the dove, the Holy Spirit coming upon him. He heard the voice of God booming from heaven, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Many people who have been baptized in the water, already having been baptized in faith, have had wonderful experiences in the moment of baptism. Not everybody has the same experience. Some people, they believe, they go down, they're baptized, and they feel good about being it, but they didn't have anything that they want to necessarily share about it. Let me tell you, that's okay. You don't have to have some divinely inspired, wonderful thing happening for you to be saved in Christ, to walk in righteousness. You know, God, when He sent His Son, He also sent Him to walk under the cross and to carry the weight of sin. I bet that didn't look divinely inspired to a lot of people. Looked like some crazy guy doing something. What's He doing that for? What's He carrying that cross for? You mean they treated Him like that and He didn't put up a fight? And the people that He did it for, those He fed, those He healed, those He loved, those He gave sight to, those He raised from the dead in the flesh, their families even, in the courtyards crying out, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" Why would He walk like that? Why would anybody want to walk a path of righteousness if it includes that? Because it's worth it. God thought you were worth it. He sent His Son. And God tells us to go into the world and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that the kingdom is at hand. And how can we walk in all righteousness if we haven't taken all the steps that Christ took? Or at least have stepped out in faith, knowing God was with us no matter what. Not all of us are going to carry the weight that Christ carried. Some of us will carry a weight and a burden. Some of us may face martyrdom at some point in life, even in this nation of ours. There may come a day when some of us are still alive. If God tarries it, we might have to say, "I believe," at the price of living another life in eternity, because this one will end when we say we believe. I'm okay with that. I will walk with that. I will carry that because Christ has never let me down. There have been many in this world that have let me down. Christ has never let me down, and He never will. He'll never leave us, nor forsake us, nor abandon us. Why am I afraid to walk in righteousness in baptism, to begin my mission with Christ? Why wouldn't I want to do those things if this is what Christ is doing? And I remind you, too, that as was pointed out in the study Bible example that I read for you, it's an example. It typifies the waters of God's judgment at Calvary. And I want to remind you that God judged the world through water with Noah, but Noah and his family was saved through the storm because God provided the ark. I want to remind you that when Moses was leading the people out of Israel, that the waters parted and they went down and they crossed between those waters, those walls of water, as though baptized and exited on the other side free and clear. But the armies, when they came in, they were destroyed by the waters of judgment. And it says that they were typified. They were given an example of being baptized into Moses. But now we're not baptized into Moses. We're baptized into the Spirit and into Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't have the blood covering, how are you going to escape the judgment when it comes? Even the demons believe and tremble. What a remarkable thing it is to me that people can hear the good news of Jesus Christ but not tremble at their own expense, because they just can't hear. They won't listen. They won't even try. And what a shame it is for those who have come to Christ and still won't take every step of righteousness that He calls us in, even the baptism. This is a step in obedience. The first step in obedience is admitting you're a sinner and asking God for forgiveness. You say, "Father, I am a sinner, but I know that You can save me through Your Son who died for my sins." And you walk in faith, and you let that walk lead you right into the pool where you're baptized. And you come up out of the pool, and you keep on marching, because you know God says, "Behold, My child, in whom I am well pleased. In whom I am well pleased." And the heavens rejoice. It's not just the heavens. Do you know how many people are rejoicing over this young man today? Just right here in this world? A lot. I'm rejoicing. What a wonderful thing it is to see a 9-year-old come in faith and be baptized. By the way, I was 9 when I was baptized. I'm not saying he's going to be a preacher too one day, but you never know. You never know what the journey is, where it leads, but you walk in faith and God goes with you. And all along the way, you'll keep hearing this every once in a while if you keep your ears open. "This is My child in whom I am well pleased." Listen for that from the Spirit. Don't listen to people around you, because a lot of times people around you won't tell you that. They won't give you that encouragement. They won't give you that uplifting word. But the Spirit will carry you when you're weak and when you're broken and you can't take another step, but another step is required. God will help and push you forward. Carry you forward. Walk with you when you've gotten your strength back as you continue moving forward. But the first step we need to see is baptism. Faith in Christ. Calling on the name of Jesus, asking for forgiveness of sins, and taking the path to baptism. Those who gladly received His word were baptized, it says of Peter when he was preaching in Acts. Those who received His word were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to them. You know, there was no test given, though, before they went in. There was no test given. I was going back to that little church in the mountains. We used to ask questions. "Do you know who Jesus is? What does Jesus mean to you? How do you know you're saved? Why?" Y'all, please let go of that. When a soul lights up and says, "I believe and I want to be baptized," you get them in the water and let their walk begin. You take the test later. After you begin to learn, after you begin to grow, then you take the test so you can start sharing and that you're prepared to give the word and you can be the example, because now you're ready for those kinds of tests. But you come in faith, having gladly received the word, having wonderfully and joyfully receiving the Spirit. Through faith. I've seen people that have not let their children be baptized because they didn't know enough. I don't know. Did those children ever come back again? Our job is not to vet people's faith. Our job is to grow them in their faith and to walk with them in their faith and to be there for them in their struggles. And guess what? That's the same reason they're there for you. We do this together. Christ is the one who guides, strengthens, and carries us together. But we have to walk in all obedience and righteousness. Receiving the word gladly. Accepting the truth for who we are in the presence of God and why He sent His Son to die for us. And feeling the pain of that when the truth hits home. As Paul says in Corinthians, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation, which is not to be regretted. I have never been sorry I stood before God and said, I'm a sinner. I have never stood before God since that first day unto this day and said, God, I sinned again. I need forgiveness. And found regret for doing it. You know where the regret comes from? From not going to God to begin with. Waiting too long to find forgiveness. Thinking I had it figured out and I didn't need God's help. These are the things that bring regret. But coming to Christ, you never have regret. Because He loves you and He keeps you and He always will. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And I pray all of us are His beloved children in whom He is well pleased. Have you found forgiveness for sins? Have you called on the name of Jesus? For restoration, new life in Him, the hope that we have when the Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. Have you known beyond a shadow of doubt, you are God's? If you don't have an answer that begins with yes, I call you today. I call to you today. I plead with you today. Come and find peace with God through Jesus Christ. Find the forgiveness of sins. Find the joy that comes with being free from that burden. And find the hope for today and tomorrow and for all eternity that comes in knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. Will you come while there's time? While there's time to do it. Father, I thank you so much again for this day. I thank you for the blessings of love and mercy and grace. I thank you, Father, that though we are sinners, you loved us. And Lord, that you gave yourself to save us. We will just come. We will call upon you, plead for forgiveness, and for strength, and for healing, and for forgiveness. Father, you will save us. What a wonderful thing that we celebrate. What a wonderful thing we share for this world to see and to hear. And I pray, Father, that we are the example you need us to be, to honor you again, as you have honored us. Lord, if there is one today who still needs to come, I pray that you will strengthen their heart now to come and find the forgiveness of sins they so desperately need in you. It's to your glory alone we ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Will you come, Father's time?